Hey, welcome back to Beyond the Booth. I'm your host, Cameron Capers. And as always, follow Beyond the Booth on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can also find Beyond the Sound on Twitter and Instagram at BYDTHESOUND. Today's guest is a very special guest I'm really excited about. Angelica Best from Brooklyn's very own Body Language. How are you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. What's
nothing
up?
Much. I'm really, really happy to be doing this because I've been listening to Body Language for like almost a decade at this point. So it's
we are definitely a decade old now.
So it's really cool to be talking with you. So just to get started, I was interested in there's a lot of different like genres you can hear throughout Body Language's music, like a lot of electronic and house music, you know, R&B. So I wanted to ask you, like, personally, when you first started writing music, who were some people who kind of inspired you?
I grew up with like a really huge background of just in terms of genres and just like listening to all different kinds of music. And I guess what really stuck out with me the most, I don't know, I listened to like a lot of R&B, so like Aaliyah, Brandy.
Love Brandy.
You know, a lot of old school stuff, you know, like Lauryn Hill. I guess old school for some people, but go further back, you know, I grew up with, you know, listening to like Anita Baker and, you know, a lot of Earth, Wind & Fire, just a lot of like soul and R&B and yeah, so that was kind of like some of my earlier inspirations until I, you know, grew up and like went to school with a bunch of music and they introduced me to like a whole new world.
Same here,
of music.
Yeah. It's really interesting. So I was initially introduced to Body Language back in 2011. My brother Danzo introduced me to you guys and he's like, oh my God, like listen to this band. And I kept blowing it off for whatever reason. I don't know why I always do that. And I finally did.
There's too much music.
And the first song I ever heard was You Can, and it was like one of my favorite songs to this day. And after doing more research about you guys, I saw that you guys actually formed in 2008. So like you said, you guys have been doing this for over a decade at this point. So prior to Body Language actually starting, were you making music by yourself, like with other bands or anything like that?
I went to school with Matt and Grant at Hartford, and they went to the Hartford School of Music, and we kind of all met there and connected, and they were like huge like jazz, and they also had like a musical engineering background, so they were like introducing me to all this like electronic music that I didn't even know about. So I was really kind of, I didn't really step into like performing or writing until I met them like in 2008. And one of the first song that I ever wrote actually was Social Studies. Cool. Yeah, which is, I think, yeah, came after You Can. So it was like a little, it was like a little bit of like a stepping stone because there was like a lot that I didn't know and just a lot of things that I was just learning in terms of just song building and making a form. And turns out that I already knew how to do that. So they kind of like, then, you know, kind of let me take the reins on some of the songwriting and just kind of flourish.
That's
from
very
there.
Cool. And so are you from New York originally?
No, I'm from Perth Amboy, New Jersey. Born and very raised. Cool. but very close. You know, I've been going to the city ever since I figured out how the train worked. You know, just being like, I'm going to my friend's house. And then we just like hop on the train and go and Cosm is just 45 minutes away from home. Very convenient.
It definitely is. I honestly need to come to New York soon because I've done like an interview with you now and then two other people that are from New York. So maybe that's a sign that I need to come out there.
Oh, yeah. I know. Come through. It's a lot more fun when there's no COVID.
Exactly. That's why I want to wait.
Definitely more fun in the summer too. I just started getting into, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but hopefully there'll be more of just more,
right? Just more. Exactly. More going I know exactly on. What you mean. Yeah. I mentioned earlier, you guys have been around for like over a decade at this point. And something I've been trying to like grapple with and kind of figure out is maintaining longevity in the music industry. Can be different hard for mm-hmm. a lot of reasons, obviously, especially now. So can you just kind of touch on the chemistry amongst the band members and how you guys have managed to stay together and be successful for this long?
Well, I think it really helped by just continuing to stay, keep in touch, and just to be more communal than ever. Just this past year with like our limitations in the midst of the mm-hmm. pandemic, I think it really humbled us as artists and just like really stripped down our egos, and we can just kind of get together and just be open and just maybe take a step back off social media, you know, get in touch with what really mm-hmm. matters. And I think like creating our craft, you know, our health, of course, you know, our friends and family. So I kind of saw it kind of admirable to see the band and other our other artists, our other colleagues in the music industry just kind of reach out to their fellow fans and colleagues for support, and just spending their time in their own personal space to kind of open up and, you know, connect with what is really important. Like, I think all of us, we were just like, because we were so bunkered, we were all bunkered mm-hmm. down. We all just kind of went down our own avenues and just started writing and sending each other stuff. And so I really think that definitely opened our eyes a lot to like just what really matters. And I think it's just about like making art and just like staying connected to people, you know, who still believe in us, who still listen to us, and just kind of taking it day definitely. By day. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. even like you reaching out to us, you know, that's like prime example of just like just keeping in touch.
For sure. Yeah, that's definitely something I've been dealing with a lot, like you said, is the whole ego thing and kind of taking a second to step back and ask yourself what's really important and why you do the things you do. Even now that's something I'm still dealing with. Like there's been times, especially with COVID, feeling like what you're making like doesn't matter, people don't really care about it. And I think quarantine and all of that just kind of makes you go to that place in your head, you know. So I've definitely been trying to like figure out like what kind of conversations I want to have and what content I want to release and what does it mean to me, as opposed to just being seen, if that makes sense.
Yeah, being seen, or like just doing what makes you feel better, like mm-hmm. for the day, you know, like, because I just feel like everything is just kind of up in the air. We don't know when things are going to get back to normal, and like all you can really do is just like take things by day. So it's like, you know, when, you know, like I said, with all these limitations, I think it really kind of hones in on like what makes you like feel mm-hmm. good. And I, yes, of course, like attention and positivity from the outside definitely helps. But I think it really matters on like just doing what makes you like feel good definitely. That day. Cause sometimes other people cannot make you happy.
Wow.
No matter how many likes you get.
No,
you
know exactly like, what you mean.
That weird way. You still get that weird feeling, but like if you, you know, spent the day, you know, working on a song or exercising or like working on art, I think that is like really what is the most beneficial.
Definitely.
I think.
I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. Something else I wanted to talk about was New York obviously is very synonymous with music and just pop culture in general. Mm-hmm. Historically, from the outside looking in, there's always been a strong sense of community there. So I wanted to ask you mm-hmm. like the difference between New Jersey and New York, like the scene, and how has New York kind of helped you grow as a musician overall?
New York has thrown me into the gauntlet.
I'm sure.
In terms of how it's made an improvement as an artist. Just because when I started out with just working with body language, I was only performing with people that I went to school with, which were only like two to three people. And then, you know, Matt and Grant, they were well connected with the artists that were on Merc Records at the time, now huge, like Machine Drum and some other artists. And we just kind of really built our community by playing shows together, like back from 2009, like when the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn was the Luna Lounge, and it was just like Machine Drum, Daedalus, and Flying Lotus. Wow. And it was, you know, those artists have definitely took off from that point, but it definitely opened up a lot of doors for us. And also, once you meet one NYU student, music student, you've met them all. Like once you meet one, you're just friends with all of them. So when we had Ian jump on board with us on drums in the project, I met almost every single kid he went to school with, and they all had bands, and and their band members had bands, and hers band members had bands. So, like, it just kind of became in this like this family tree of musicians from different schools, like locally, and also just in the scene too, just right. hanging out at the same venue, playing at the same venue like over and over again. But Jersey was definitely a lot different. I mean, I did not play music. I just went to shows. And there was, you know, being from Jersey, there was like a huge emo punk rock scene. When I don't know if it's still happening, but there was a time where I was just like going to the same venues like all right. the time. But I didn't really meet any musicians through that outlet. It was just more of like community.
No, I definitely get that.
Which was like very kind of taboo, questioning like my identity, like as a Black girl listening to music predominantly by white people.
I've been there for my entire life.
So, but now that it's expanded and it's like more open now, like I'm totally for it. But there was definitely like, I definitely suffered some trauma on both sides of the spectrum on like what was considered Black music and white music. So that was like a lot. But then like when I went to college and like met all these like jazz musicians who were like obsessed with like all of these African American musicians, and like it was just kind of like this wave of like I was just like hit so right. strong with like African American music, like on all levels, like not just like hip hop and like modern
right.
music, but you know, just like jazz and like Afro Latin and like Afro B and like yeah, so it just kind of just a bunch of stuff.
No, I definitely get it. That's interesting you brought that up about, you know, kind of dealing with that trauma of like your identity and everything. Recently I just finished a book about Bad Brains, the lead singer, and it was a really good book, and they talked about that a lot, how like they were this Black punk band that were like huge for the scene and like everyone loved them, but they were like playing with a bunch of white bands and stuff, and they were dealing with racism and all that. And so yeah, it's really interesting, like when you're giving so much to a genre and a culture, but you still are being rejected at the same time, and trying to just figure that out, with, like, why that is and the history behind it. Yeah, it's totally really interesting.
You should check out this book. I know it's an interview, but
I love that you're
book that I just got called Nothing But the Music by Tulani Davis, and she was like this journalist, and she writes about like the late 70s and 80s, about like the East Coast 70s and 80s avant-garde, like jazz, soul, punk rock, black arts music, and she talks a lot about Bad Brains. And you would absolutely love it.
Nothing But the Music, you said?
Actually came out recently. Yeah, it's called Nothing But the Music by Tulani Davis. It's just like a bunch of like essays and like poems and Yeah, she's just this amazing.
So, yeah, that's really cool. I just wrote it down, so I won't forget, because I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, she talked about like the Village Vanguard and like the Apollo and Bad Brains and like all these, like, oh, the Five Spot, which is like this place in this like historical place in Brooklyn. But yeah,
no, that's really cool. Yeah, I made a goal for myself this year. I want to read 50 books by 50 different Black authors. Just because, you know, growing up, I've always loved to read, but mainly it was like written by white people.
Yeah, we just didn't know.
So it's been crazy. Like, I graduated high school 2014. Yeah. So since then, it's really been like almost like a relearning for me of like not only just societal and like racial stuff, but just like Black history and not just slavery and on, you know, but like there's so much more than that.
I know, there's so much, it's definitely more like just Black joy, not so much like oppression and
Yeah, because it's always like based around your trauma and like all this stuff. And it's like, that's obviously important. It's important to learn about that kind of stuff, but it also can be very draining, you know, emotionally and mentally.
Yeah, and also just like there's a sea of like Black intellectuals that we just have been thrown under the bus and like thrown under the rug, and just like we just have never and just haven't really like you said, like haven't really been like showed like
a
substantial path.
Yeah, it's frustrating. But I think it's important, like you said, there's a lot more like access to information now too, so it's a lot easier to kind of find stuff yourself and not have to, you know, sit on your hands. But I wanted to talk about Bilingual, just released the latest album, A Travel Guide, in October. And I was reading that you guys were writing that album in New York and in California. And I was wondering, was that a byproduct of COVID, or was that just something you guys already had planned before all this happened?
No, we already planned it. Like, we had that album, I don't know if it is, but it was sitting on the shelf for a minute. And we had finished the record before COVID. We actually had some... We had some writing assignments, some songwriting assignments out in LA at the time. And we had access to a studio through our publishing, one of our publishing labels. And we wrote like the first half of the album there, just like demos and stuff. Yeah. And then we did the rest back
in
the city.
Cool. So was that the first time you guys have ever done that, like the bi-coastal type, or is that something you've done before?
Yeah, actually, okay. We've written on the road before. That's not a new thing for us, but it was really nice to have just to be in a different setting, like in a completely different studio, like, you know, different atmosphere. There wasn't really that much pressure. We just kind of wrote like a bunch of songs like while we were out there, and then we were like, you know what I mean, like already had started, but we didn't really have a like an album in mind, you know. With this project, it's usually just kind of like a cluster of songs because we're just always writing, and then we're like, oh, okay, it's album. We have time to make it. Right. It's time to make an album. Like, what should we call this? You know, exactly. And which is cool. It kind of goes. It coincides with our genre bending, multi genre bending world where we don't know what it's gonna be, but it's all of our influences and all of the things that we like are incorporated into the project or into the piece.
Yeah, and that's something that I've always loved about you guys. You mentioned that earlier about like being a Black girl liking music that wasn't, you know, quote unquote made for us, even though historically that was white people made it in the first place. But
of course,
right.
Like exactly. Everything.
And yeah, that's why you guys have been so important to me, is like seeing you like in an electronic band, like made me feel seen in a time where I felt like I was made fun of for liking like rock music and electronic and stuff. So yeah, Bilingual is really like, in a way, I didn't even realize how my self esteem and why it make me feel validated. So I want to say thank you for that.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Even talking to you is like I said, it's a huge honor because I've looked up to you guys for so long. And I'm not just saying that kind of interviewing. I genuinely, you know, mean that.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So I wanted to talk about the album a little bit more. So from a lyrical standpoint, I kind of noticed a lot of different themes. You touch on like femininity and relationships throughout the project. And a prime example as a first track is called Catcaller. So I wanted to talk about that because, you know, like I said earlier, I'm 24 right now, but I've over the past few years, I've really had to like unlearn a lot of stuff, especially around women, how I view women and treat them. More specifically, Black women. I was raised by, you know, a single Black mom. So I wanted to ask you, how have you kind of maintained your mental and emotional health being a Black woman in an industry that is not only overcritical of Black and brown women, but also don't give them the credit they deserve a lot of the time?
Yeah. I usually just keep my headphones in.
That's a great tip.
That's what we do in the city. We just keep our headphones and keep walking. I mean, I guess what would help is to not be the first reaction, not to be aggressive or angry, because that kind of counteracts what their actions of aggression, because it is aggression, and it is harassment. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to give back the same kind of action, and especially if you want to get your point across. I think a lot of it is just about like educating and not necessarily fully, you know, yes, calling out and, you know, the call out culture and making your voices heard. But I think also about like educating and just being like, do you know what you just did? Like, do you know what that means when you say those things or when you do those things to a woman, particularly, you know, Black women, we're constantly, I feel like we're constantly kind of competing with each other, and those kinds of, like things like catcalling, it just makes it, it's just another characteristic of like why there's no, why there's no solidarity with females, because we don't have our voices are never heard, you know? So, that's kind of really what, I try to focus on, is just really kind of like educating and explaining.
Yeah. And even, sorry to cut you off. But even I was like writing these questions, I wanted to talk about this, you know, you being a Black woman, 'cause that's important to me. That's also like grappling, like, I don't want to seem like, you know, like pseudo like woke or whatever, make it seem like I'm trying to be like a part of a conversation. But I genuinely care. I genuinely think it's important. So I don't want to make it seem like, oh, like I'm just asking this Black woman a question and seem like trendy, but it's like, I genuinely, I want to have a conversation. Even if people have different perspectives, I think it's important just to talk about it. And yeah, just to educate ourselves, like you said. So yeah, that's something I've been thinking about, because I brought that up because I don't know if you listen to Chloe and Halle at all. But there was some backlash when Chloe would post like a quote unquote like sexy video or something. She was dancing. And of course, straight men just, you know, couldn't handle that. And there was a lot of discourse about like, oh, like she's like sexualized and like she is an adult, first of all. So she's allowed to like, you know, do that.
You're allowed to do that. And like also that is just a message of self-love. Like it has nothing to do about like, that's just self-confidence. You know, that has really nothing to do about being sexy for someone
but
else.
Then, and it's so frustrating, those kind of conversations, because those same men will have women like in their videos or like half dressed, which is fine, but it's like you can't you know, have it both ways and then try to tear a woman down.
No.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, that's something I've been thinking about a lot, and I really just try to have conversations and yeah, just talk about it, 'cause I think it's important. And so, yeah, to talk about it more, something else I noticed when COVID first started was the whole like the Black Square thing they did. And so that kind of made me start thinking about representation and diversity in the music industry. And like you said earlier, it's definitely gotten better over the past like 5 to 10 years for sure. Now, once again, I think social media and all that has definitely helped with that. But something I've noticed is like a lot of the changes seem to be like kind of surface level in a way, and they don't really address like the problem, like at the foundation of it. And like you mentioned, mm-hmm. educating ourselves is important, but what do you think are some things that could be done, even like not on a whole like music industry level standard, but just like even locally, some things that could be changed to make things more inclusive for people?
This is just like, I feel like this is like a really pivotal time for mm-hmm. a lot of people. And, you know, I'll say it again. I think it's really important to just kind of reconnect, like on a communal sense, just to reach out to people and just like see what like we actually mm-hmm. need, instead of like flashing like your life of, or like where you were, you know, because we don't even know where, like people are just posting right. whatever. I just think it's really important to just kind of like take a break from social media, get connected with your community, and like, and you know, just work on your craft, like mm-hmm. as an artist, you know, like, and just limiting yourself with the screens, because it's not great.
No, honestly, that's something I've been dealing with a lot. Just being completely like honest, social media has definitely like warped my view, like how I view myself and how I view other people, and I've really been trying to like rein that in and not let
I feel like it will really cuts into people's confidence, and it takes a lot for people to really like appreciate mm-hmm. themselves. And I think sometimes when you see so much content, even if it's just something that's they're trying to advertise, you know, it'll take you away from like right. yourself and from what your intentions mm-hmm. are. And I really try and hone in on, you know, instead of just like DMing mm-hmm. like a close friend, just like straight up calling them and just being like,
right,
like what is going on with your life? Like, I don't even care what you just posted. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? I just, it's just time to like really kind of get down to what we're mm-hmm. going through. Like, what we're going through, because everyone's experience is different. Right.
No.
And
yeah, that's something I've definitely been dealing with. Yeah, because it's constantly like, mm-hmm. oh, like, this person got like 500 likes and I only got like 20 or whatever. And it's like, why am I basing my value off of likes? And I know it's wrong, and you keep doing it. It's like this cycle, you know? And so, yeah, it totally. Really takes, like you said, just kind of taking a step back and asking yourself what's important to you.
And also a lot of people, seeing a lot of us out and like protesting for, you know, civil rights. And I think it's really like, beautiful and admirable, but I think that there's more that we can do in terms of just like organizing and like getting in touch with our actual community, because that's like where it starts.
Definitely agree.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you are upset about like, you know, all the homeless people out in the street or like all the garbage, it's like, you know, reach out to, you know, your mm-hmm. community.
Exactly.
And, your local politicians, and talk to them, you know, because they want our voice. Like, they want mm-hmm. us there, especially, you know, us youth, you know, between the ages of, you know, 18 and 35. Like, they mm-hmm. need us. They want exactly. us, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the activist. She went viral from Kansas City, KJ. I'm not sure if you saw that video or not. She was basically just, like, roasting everybody at this meeting here in Kansas City. I think...
I think it was
last summer, I think, like, right,
last summer.
It was like around that time. Yeah,
she made at that police mm-hmm. board meeting,
and I was here. That mm-hmm. was really cool to see that, especially, you know, a queer black woman get that platform, and also to seeing her like roast them made me happy. So
she was true. Everything, and she said, she was like, y'all can't both be my savior and my
God.
Oppressor.
I need that t-shirt. Like,
I literally fell off. I was like, oh my God.
Right. She's like, what, 20 something? Like 21, I think. She's so smart, so insightful. And also.
And she said straight up, she's like,
exactly.
I'm
like, I stand for you already. Yeah. And it made me sad also at the same time that she even had to do that, because she's like, you know, a young black girl. She should be able to just be happy and enjoy her life. Because a lot of her white counterparts don't have to do stuff like that. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm really happy for her at the same time.
It's a guard. It's like we have this, that's why we have this like this emotional mm-hmm. shield and this blockage, and it's like it's we have it for right. a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's something I've been like I said, unpacking too. Like my mom, a single black mom, and it's like, oh, black women mm-hmm. are so like strong and amazing, yeah. and it's like they shouldn't have to be all the time. You know, it's like we need to be strong for them too, and let them rest and like just exist without absolutely. Having to like have the entire community on their backs. That's why I get so upset when black people, especially black men, tear down black women on social media and just say all this stupid stuff. Because it's like, if you get to the root of it, you probably wouldn't even be alive right now if it wasn't for a black woman. So it's like, exactly. it's really frustrating.
If it wasn't for that strength and like that, like, lack right. of support that mm-hmm. she had.
Exactly. No. And it's like, yeah, that's something I've been dealing with, is like, how can I be an ally for people? Because even though I'm like a black man, I'm still a man, you know, and I have privileges that black women don't have. So it's like, how can I use that to help mm-hmm. them and other people out? So yeah, that's really something I've been trying to do. Like, yeah, I think you said COVID yeah. just really put everyone, like, everything's up in the air. So it's really hard to feel grounded a lot mm-hmm. of the times. But like I said, these kind of conversations, like, I'm just happy to have these because these are important. And maybe someone else will hear this, you know, and they have a conversation. So it's like, you know, kind of the domino effect. So as we wind down here, I wanted to ask earlier how we were talking about COVID and you guys recorded this album on both coasts. So for this year, do you guys have any like in mind for, like, releases or new music, or are you just kind of, like you said, just going with the flow?
Yeah, we're just kind of going with the flow mm-hmm. right now. Matt is his family's is getting a little bigger. Nice. It's growing, so he's very uh-huh. occupied. But yeah, we're definitely like, we're not going to stop mm-hmm. making music, but in terms of releases, I think we're just going to see mm-hmm. what happens. But like, we're always right. writing, and like Matt, he talks about like, you know, just putting stuff out that we worked on, like, and just like putting out on the SoundCloud. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we might have something pop up on the SoundCloud in the next Definitely. Few months.
No, that's really cool. Yeah, I think you said like COVID is. It's been awful, obviously, but it's really forced a lot of people to kind of look at themselves and unpack a lot of stuff they didn't want to deal with. I can definitely attest to that myself. Just being at home, yeah. I work from home now too. So
I mean, like, would you? I don't know. You know, I don't know how close SZA and Lizzo are, but I don't know if they would have ever done that soundscape, that sound mm-hmm. healing project together on Instagram if they both exactly. weren't home, like in their right. homes, like
that's so on. True.
And like, you're, you know, two talented women home alone, and they're like, hey, you exactly. want to do something? Like, that's that. Like, I want mm-hmm. more of that.
No,
like,
I agree.
And yeah. And this- I think
yeah, and this podcast is definitely, like I said before in previous episodes, it's been like a silver lining for me just to be able to talk to people like you and other people and have these kind of conversations. Even though we're not physically, you know, in the same room, we can still talk about the state of just everything and have yeah. conversations.
And share like just as much, yeah, and share just as much mm-hmm. knowledge and insight as you would exactly. face-to-face.
No,
you know?
For sure. Yeah. No, so yeah, once again, I'm so appreciative of you taking the time. I'm sure you're busy. But yeah, I like I said, I'm a huge fan of you guys. So being able to talk to you for a little bit really means a lot.
Thank you so much. Thanks for
just before we get out of here, if you want to plug whatever Body Language has going on or socials and all that, you feel free to do so.
Oh yeah. We have a new music video coming out. It's right. out. when it was out 2 weeks ago. Check it out. It's really fun.
I really like it.
Yeah. It was just it needed to right. be done. I needed to make a music.
Yeah, I can
video.
Tell you guys like had fun making it for sure.
Yeah. And yeah, just keep in touch with us. We'll definitely be we're not going anywhere, and we have we'll be working on some stuff soon. And yeah, just keep in touch Definitely. With us. You can check us out on Instagram
for sure, and I'll make sure to include like socials and all that when I post it, so everyone can find you guys for sure.
Amazing.
Awesome. Well, once again, Angelica, thank you so much for talking to me. This was a really great conversation. Yeah, thank and you. Down the road, if things are ever back to normal and not like The Walking Dead, then we can meet in person sometimes.
Oh my God, yes,
definitely. All right. All right. Thank you for talking to me. You have a good night. Okay. Bye.